It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. I thank God for His goodness. We want to stay standing, or those of you who aren't standing, we're going to read very quickly, get into the Word of God so I can allow plenty of time for the preaching. I'm going to be covering quite a few scriptures. If you feel to write some down, you may try to do a little teaching, preaching as the Lord leads, but very simple subject. I think the time of praise and worship gave us clearly the direction that we're going this morning, and we're going to talk to you about praise and worshiping God. Amen. I'd like to talk and preach on true worship. With the help of God, before we leave today, we will have a better understanding of what God requires of us as His people, and that worship is so important in this service and in any service when you come into the presence of God. Worship is not only supposed to be here, but also at our homes, and that's where we need to seek the Lord. Amen. The Bible tells us in the book of John, very popular, familiar story in the Bible of Jesus meeting the woman at the well. We want to jot down some more scriptures. We're going to be going right through a lot of different examples, but mainly speaking on worship and praise. And there is a difference, church, between worshiping God and praising God. Amen. They both go together, though. But they've got to be rightly divided. There is a time to praise God, and then there is a time to worship God. Chapter 4, verse 23. Everybody have it? Say amen. But the hour cometh, this is Jesus with the woman at the well, and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit. God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto Him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called the Christ. When He is come, He will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. He revealed Himself to this woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, as He asked her for that water. He had that discussion with her about talking about the living water. And if you drink of that water, you will never thirst again. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We're asking that, Lord God, You would minister to every heart. You would speak to every spirit and mind. Today, God, give us comprehension to understand Your Word. Anoint this congregation to receive that which You would have them to receive this morning. God, we know there is such a loss in this church world and in the midst of the churches of true worshipers, God. True worshipers. God, help us today to hear Your Word. Remove every hindrance, I pray. Lord, I need Your touch. I need Your unction, Your inspiration, Your anointing upon Your Word. Glorify Yourself in this place today and speak unto Your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, church. Amen. Most of you are here this morning. Praise the Lord, church. Praise the Lord. True worship. Worship is a very important part of a Christian life. Oftentimes, we as Pentecostals, we speak much on prayer, which is probably one of the most important. But we cannot neglect worship. Oftentimes we confuse worship and praise. There is a difference. I said there is a difference. I haven't heard too many preachers preach on this, but the Lord said He seeketh such. Talking about the true worshiper. Those that are worshiping Him in the Spirit. Not all that worship God are worshiping Him in the Spirit. With the help of the Lord, before this service is over, you will understand what worshiping God in the Spirit truly is. It's more than just going through motions, lifting your hands. Hallelujah. Worship requires a sacrifice. True worship will require a sacrifice. The Bible says in Exodus 34 and 14, as Abram was taking his son Isaac to the mount. How many of us are familiar with that story in the Bible? I'm going to quickly go to it. If you feel you would like to go with me, also Exodus 34. Give me just a few moments here, church. Genesis 22. Let's go to there first. Bible does say, for thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, this is Exodus 34 and 14, then I'm going to go to Genesis 22. For the Lord is a jealous God. God doesn't want us worshiping anybody else but Him. We as His people. Now this may seem very elementary, but let me build this for a few moments. True worship requires a sacrifice on your behalf. I said, not just worship, true worship. Genesis chapter 22. You have it, say amen. And we know the story in the Bible where Abraham was told by God to go and take his son. He took some of the young men with him, Isaac and his son. He brought the wood. He brought the burnt offering. Wood for the burnt offering. And rose up and went unto the place, verse 3, of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Speaking of the place where he was to bring his worship unto the Lord. He said, on the third day, as they were traveling on the way, he lifted up his eyes and he saw that place. Let's, for time's sake, let's go to verse 4 here. I want to go back to 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw that place. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. He was going to that mountain to offer his son, his only son Isaac. He said he was going to worship the Lord. How many of us know it's very important that we obey what God tells us to do? According to the Word of God, there is specific instruction on worship. We are not to just worship God any way we feel like worshiping God. Because if you go by the way that you feel like worshiping and praising God, you'll sit there right in that chair and not move. Because a lot of times, most of us don't feel like worshiping God. You might as well say amen this morning. Because there's a lot of times where you're tired, you're weary. They've been traveling 3 days now with donkeys. Rough terrain, traveling. But then he seen that place where God had called him to go. Then he had to climb up that mountain with his son. Weary and tired. Isn't that the excuse oftentimes that most of us use? I'm weary. I'm tired. You don't know what I've gone through this week. You don't know the journey that I've been going through. You don't know what I've been suffering with. You don't know what trial or valley or affliction I've been going through. That is no excuse not to praise and worship your God. I've used that excuse a few times. And you can get by with it for a little while. But brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. Amen. It's not an excuse. Amen. God demands worship from us. It's a commandment. I know this generation focuses mostly on praise and praise and praise. We've got our worship and praise teams. But brothers and sisters, I think they can praise the Lord, but I don't think they're really worshiping God. Can you say amen? Worship comes from the Spirit. Worship comes from the inward parts of the soul and the heart of a man. Abraham loved God. God began to speak with him, and he obeyed God. And he went on to say, you go to that place and you offer your son. Sacrifice. We sang the song. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, it's going to cost you something to praise and to worship God. You've got to put forth an effort. Some of you did a pretty good job this morning, but some of you didn't even move. Amen. I'm trying to help you here. It's going to be embarrassing when visitors start to come in and some of you are just sitting there doing nothing. I got one amen. I'm trying to help us this morning. We're Pentecostal. Where is your praise? Where is your worship? Where is your adoration? Where is your reverence to the God that we serve? The Bible says in 1 Chronicles 16 and 29, give unto the Lord glory due unto His name. Give it to God. It's not yours, it's God's. If God's done something for you, you ought to have something to shout about. You ought to have something deep down within your heart. Listen, amen. I don't need people to get me to worship God, because all I've got to do is look back at what He's delivered me from, and I begin to think that He brought me out of the cesspool of sin, of iniquity and lust and perversion, brought me forth out of a background of drugs and alcohol and a promiscuous lifestyle that was going to send me to hell. But He came to me one day and He set me free. Amen. I called on the name of the Lord, and He heard my cry, and He lifted me up out of that miry clay, that lifestyle of sin. I don't know about you, but I've got something to praise God for. I don't need somebody to encourage me and help me. And listen to me, brothers and sisters, if you need someone to encourage you to praise God, then you are not a true worshiper. You're not a true worshiper. True worship comes from an experience. And the worship is the response of acknowledging what He has done for you. I'm going to say it again. Your experience with God. What has He delivered you from? How many times has He provided for you? How many times has He brought you through those afflictions? How many times has He supplied your needs when you didn't have no finances? How many times has He touched your body when you were sick and you thought you were going to die and maybe have to go to the hospital? How many times did you feel in your body that sharp pain deep down in your abdomen or in your back, and the devil's trying to tell you it's cancer or it's something else? Listen to me. I don't know about you, but I thank God that He saved me. I thank God, and I got something within my heart. David the psalmist said,
He said in Psalm 34 and verse 3, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me." Oh, some of you don't want to magnify God this morning because you've forgotten all that He's done for you. Some of us come into the house of the Lord and we're so tired and weary. And you can use that excuse for a few weeks, but when you'll just sit there on the pew and you don't give God His glory, you don't give God His praise and His worship, and you just want to sit there and say, "I have my own way of worship. I have my own way of worship and glorifying God." Listen, that's a poor testimony. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. Come and magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I said, let us exalt His name together. Hallelujah. I'm gonna prime it for a little while. Some of you ain't got the water flowing. Amen. Some of you ain't got the rivers of living water flowing in you. You need to go back to the well. That woman was thirsty that morning. That woman was thirsty. Amen. But she found a well. Hallelujah. And it wasn't that well, that natural well that brought forth water with buckets. Amen. She got a drink of the living water. And the Bible says that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And I'll tell you what, brothers and sisters, when I look at the way some of the Pentecostals of our day and age worship and praise God in the church, I begin to really ask myself, do they have the true living waters running through their soul? Because if you really do have the waters running through your soul, you're not just going to sit on a church pew. You're not going to just sit there when you hear the hallelujahs ringing. You're not going to just sit there on a like a lump on a log and do nothing. But there's going to be a response within the depths of your heart and in the depths of your spirit. And you're going to say, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name." Hallelujah. Where are the true worshipers that are worshiping God from their spirits? We need that, brothers and sisters. We need true worship in this sanctuary, in this house. True worship begins with inside of you as you acknowledge all. Listen, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that He's done for me, my soul, something down within my heart and my soul. This doesn't come with just an outward motion of waving our hands. This just doesn't come with an outward motion of our lip service and praising God. But this comes down when you come into the presence of God. You bring the sacrifice of praise. You begin to worship Him in the beauty of holiness. You begin to call on the name of the Lord and begin to glorify and exalt His holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of you can just sit there this Sunday morning. Amen. As we're in the presence of God right now, you need a revival in your soul. You need a revival in your soul. That's why there's no desire to come, amen, to prayer meeting. That's why there's no desire to be faithful to come into the house of the Lord. I taught on Wednesday night that David said, hallelujah, he said, "One desire have I desired, that I may come and inquire in His temple and in His house." There was one desire that was in the heart of the psalmist David. He said that I would come and seek the Lord and worship Him, glorify Him, and seek His face. Can you say amen? Are you awake this morning, church? The Bible goes on to say that we are to give glory due unto His name and bring an offering, 1 Chronicles 16 and 29. Bring an offering. What have you brought the Lord this morning? Your money? He don't want our money. That's just a small token of our worship. Small token. Listen, church, listen. What are you offering God this morning? He wants more than your money. He's looking for your spirit to worship Him. Oh, you didn't hear me. He's looking for you to worship. He's looking for you to worship. He's looking and He seeketh such to worship Him. And they that worship God must worship Him in the Spirit. You know why we can't worship in the Spirit? Is because all throughout the week we're in the flesh. We're not praying. We're not listening to the music we should be listening to. We're watching things we shouldn't be watching. We're spending too much time in the presence of carnal things, and we're not spending enough time in the presence of God. And if there's ever been a time that we, church here at the Abiding Light, I'm not looking to preach on the Baptist. I'm not looking to preach on the Catholics and talk about their form of godliness that denies the power thereof. I'm not looking to look to them, but I'm looking at the ones that are here, right here in this church. Church, we need a revival of true worship in our hearts, that we will magnify the Lord and we will exalt His holy name and we will exalt Him together as true worshipers. True worshipers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bring an offering, 1 Chronicles 16 and 29. And come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Something about when your spirit with inside of you, the Spirit of God within you, connects with God. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving, and let us offer the sacrifice of praise. He said He would begin to inhabit the praises. That means the very presence of God will come down like the wings of a dove and begin to fly down into the midst of a people that begin to praise Him, that begin to glorify Him, and that begin to worship Him with just more than waving their arms and clapping their hands. But true worship comes out of a heart that loves God. Worship comes from our spirit unto God. Praise comes from our mouths. They are words that we glorify God with. We talk of His splendor. We talk of His majesty. We speak words that will begin to glorify Him and exalt His holy name. Their words cannot really truly express the majesty of God. The words cannot begin to truly express the beauty of His holiness. Remember, Moses was only one that was able to see the hinder part of God. But brothers and sisters, we can feel His presence. We can feel His presence in our midst right now. But I'm here to tell you, if you really want to magnify the Lord, not that God has an ego, but just like a man that likes to be encouraged, saying, "Oh, you look handsome today." If my wife tells me that, amen, I'll say, "Really? Oh, praise God. Thank you, honey." And I'll tell you, it's something about when you start to encourage a man or encourage a woman of how pretty she is. Those words begin to magnify her. They begin to lift her up. They begin to exalt a man. A man or a woman would begin to hurt themselves trying to fulfill what you're saying to them that's exalting them. I'm not talking about flattery. I'm talking because you love them. Because, amen, we don't worship our wives. We don't worship our husbands. But there's a love within our heart that says, "You look beautiful today, honey." And all to once you see that smile and you begin to see the response and that little twinkle in the eye that begins to make you feel, "My God, I said the right thing." David said, "Oh, come and magnify the Lord with me." Not that God needs to be any bigger. Not that God can be any bigger than who He is. God is everywhere. He is a spirit, brothers and sisters. But God will be magnified in you as you begin to worship Him, as you begin to exalt Him. Amen. Amen. It's not like God's up there getting a cheap thrill of you giving him words of encouragement, but God commands us to worship him. He loves to hear us glorify him in his holy name. He loves to hear us speak of his goodness and to praise him with our lips. But more than lip service, God wants us to not only praise him with our lips and tell him of his goodness and his mercies that endure forever, but he wants us to worship him from the depths of our heart and our soul. Can you say amen? You have got to be able to separate your carnal mind and get into the mind of the Spirit. The reason why most of us can't worship God in this place and it takes 20 minutes before we begin to feel the presence of God is because of all the corrupt things you're allowing to enter into your mind throughout the week. The eye gates take in so much. The ear gates take in so much. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. This here, right here, is our biggest battle in this whole body. This mind right here needs to be renewed. Are you listening? It needs to be renewed. Our mind, somebody said, you preach that holiness stuff about separation from the world. I've heard people say that legalism, it's all grace. I listened to a new preacher, and I won't mention his name because it'll probably offend some of you, but there was a preacher last night I was listening to, and he's one of the big preachers in the world now, getting all the invitations, and he preaches a pretty good word. But all he does is say, grace, 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 grace. And listen, I thank God for his grace. I thank God for his mercy. But let me tell you, if you don't preach the full counsel of God's word and you got a people that rely nothing but upon the grace of God. Now listen closely now. I'm talking there's a proper balance. For by grace we are saved through faith. Amen? We can't save ourselves. But if you're going to stay saved, you got to walk in obedience to the word of God. You've got to obey his commandments. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. I'll get on myself for a few moments, all right? How about that? There's times when I've heard certain music that sounded good. I like the words, Brother Johnny. I like the music and the style. I just taking it in. It made me feel good. I feel it tightening up here now. It's tightening up. It's okay. And you begin to move to it. Oh yeah. Come praise the Lord with me. It gets that flesh moving. I watch them in Mexico. We seen them in Africa. Amen. But I'm telling you, it's lip service. It's lip service unto God. Oh, I worship you. Oh, we got the praise teams. Amen. But we don't have the true worshipers. Amen. We've got people now. These large churches have to hire people. Do you know that their staff is paid thousands of dollars? And listen, if you're a church that needs to hire someone and pay them $150,000 to $200,000 a year to enter you into the presence of God because you're a praise leader, listen, oh God, give us that money so we can build a building. And I'll come and teach you how to worship God. I'll tell you how to worship God. You know how you worship God? You worship him from the depths of your heart out of an experience. I said out of an experience that he has given you and showing you his grace, showing you his mercy. Not just talking about the grace of God, but knowing what the true grace of God was, that he took me out of a lifestyle of sin and iniquity, and he delivered me by his power, and he set me free from the powers of the devil. And now I have something to magnify and glorify God about, and I can become a true worshiper and begin to worship him in the spirit and in the beauty of holiness. Can you say amen? Praise comes out of our mouth with words. I'll repeat it again. We glorify him with our mouth. But many in our day and hour are only doing that. They're only glorifying him with their mouth.
But that which comes out of their mouth is not truly born out of the heart, from an experience. David learned to worship God and glorify God out of his experiences. Before he was ever brought to the king's palace, he was a shepherd boy taking care of the flock of God, his daddy's flock. God was teaching him how to take care of the flock, because there's a parallel there. You remember the bear, you remember the lion who took the sheep, and the great victory where he plucked it out of the devil's. The devil is that lion, that bear, that comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. You know, there's no greater satisfaction than to see a sinner that was lost, that has gone astray. Oh, thank God. Yesterday we went down to the, I wanted to get a coffee in the morning. We went down to the Dunkin' Donuts. Little Isaiah wanted to go with us. And I went ahead and said, come on, you can bring him with us. We took him and my two boys, Nathan and Mark. And we went down to the Dunkin' Donuts. Here he goes, let's see how long it takes Sister Donna to call. I said, Delia, don't do that. I'll send her a text. So after a few minutes went by, we heard a phone call. Do you have Isaiah? I can't find him. Now, I don't know altogether. She didn't tell me, Sister Donna didn't, how much she looked, how much she sought him. She probably ran down the road, started screaming for his name. How many have ever lost a child for a little while? Even if it's 10 minutes or 5 minutes, it's one of the most heart-wrenching, gut-wrenching feeling of losing a child. And when you begin to go to that child and you find them, and you know they're safe and they're okay, you begin to weep. You begin to cry. You begin to say, thank you, Lord. Why? Because, amen, you don't have to have anybody coach you to say thank God. You ever notice when traumatic things happen in our lives, whether it be a close call in a car accident, or maybe, amen, we were in a position where we were really sick and we thought it was something that it wasn't. We get the results back from the doctor and you begin to say, thank God. Thank God. I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, I can bet you that Sister Donna was so happy when she heard that we had found him. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, unless you've experienced that, you don't know what I'm saying. But there's something that comes down from the heart of a man or a woman when they truly have something that they're thankful for, truly have something that they know the Lord had done for them. And I'm telling you, when David went and he took the sheep out of the mouth of that lion and bear, I believe he was not just after he killed them. I don't believe he was just standing there. I believe he was worshiping God. I believe he was praising God. I believe he was glorifying God and saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And you know what? When there's a sinner that gets saved, even the angels in heaven, oh, hallelujah, even the angels in heaven, even the angels in heaven begin to rejoice over one sinner that has been brought back to the sheepfold. Hallelujah. Something about praising him, worshiping and glorifying God. We begin to praise and worship God in our experience and our gratification of when he, and our thankfulness when he does something good for us. But listen closely, church. We not only should be able to glorify God when the times are good, but we got to be able to glorify and worship God when the times are hard. Anybody can worship and praise God in the church when the Holy Ghost is moving. And I've watched some folks come into the church, and I've been guilty of it in the past until the Spirit of the Lord began to deal with me. Listen closely now. Just because others are not worshiping God and you don't feel the presence of God and you say, oh, well, I don't feel the presence of God. I need to hear a song that gets me moving. You've got the wrong spirit. You don't have a true spirit of worship. You don't have a true spirit of worship. Because a true spirit of worship, you don't need anybody to move you. You will be moved by the Holy Ghost that's within inside of you. Oh, I just said a mouthful right there. I wish you would hear what I'm saying. Oftentimes people will sit in the church and say, man, I'll watch people sit there and sit there and sit there in a service. And brothers and sisters, then a brother gets up and sings and, ah, well, he wasn't too anointed. It sounded good. The words were good. And, amen. I lifted up my hand a little bit. But then you've seen a sister or another brother get up there that begins to sing. And the anointing of the Holy Ghost begins to flow. Listen, it's okay, brothers and sisters. I like it when the Spirit of God is moving. But I don't need a good song to make me worship God. I don't need somebody with an elegant voice to make me worship God. And if that's what you need and that's what you're looking for, then you don't have a true spirit of worship within inside of you. There's a difference. Oftentimes you'll see services where the Spirit of the Lord begins to move. The power of God begins to manifest. God is speaking. God is ministering the hearts of people. And the music is going. And they got that beat going, Brother Johnny. And people are reacting to that beat and they like that movement. They like that feeling. Amen. And then all to once the music stops and most of them stop praising and worshiping God. Were they in the flesh or were they in the spirit? No flesh shall glory in my presence. Amen. There's a problem. Today, we don't have true worship in the church the way we need to have it. Are you listening, church? I wish somebody would say, man, am I not preaching it right this morning? Am I not making sense? Am I stumbling over my words and slurring where you can't understand me? If there's ever been a time that we here at the Abiding Night need to be able to come into a true spirit of worship, listen, God is seeking such. God is looking, amen, across this nation and around the world. He's looking in, amen, New Hampshire. He's looking in Maine. He's looking in Pennsylvania. He's looking in New York. He's looking for some true worshipers that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. God wants to pour out His Spirit upon His people. But He doesn't want our half-hearted worship that only comes out of lip service. Hebrews 13:5, by Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. I said Hebrews 13:15. By Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Just when I feel like it. Just when times are good. Just when I've got good health. Just when my bank account's full. Just when I got plenty of food in the house. When my vehicles are running right. When I don't have, amen, when I got a headache, amen, I don't feel like worshiping God. Brothers and sisters, if you're a true worshiper, you don't need money in your bank account. You don't need your vehicles running good. You don't need your body feeling good. I found myself one time, amen, with my head in the toilet, throwing up, being sicker than a dog when I got back from Mexico. But I began to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You say you're crazy, but hallelujah. It came out of a heart of saying, Lord, I know you're with me. Amen. And listen to me, brothers and sisters. I'm not going to be a fake worshiper. I'm not going to be one that only glorifies God when I feel like glorifying Him. But I'm going to be one that truly worships God in the Spirit, even when the times get rough. By Him, therefore, let us offer. This is something that you must do and give God glory, praise, and honor, even when things aren't going right. I'll give it the sacrifice of God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks unto His name. Oh, hallelujah. I thought somebody would have glorified God right there. By Him, therefore, let us offer this sacrifice, this praise, this worship. You know, praise will bring you into true worship. Praise will enter you in to the presence of God. He said, I will inhabit the praises. That means that you are able to enter in, but you gotta press through the carnal. You gotta press through the mind that is carnally distracting you. You gotta close your eyes. A lot of you, I don't think you can be a true worshiper until you really learn to close your eyes. Because some of our eyes begin to wander. Amen. I'm not trying to hurt anybody, but I'm telling you, some of you get distracted so easily. Some of you get your eyes off the Lord so easily. A sound, somebody comes in the door and everybody looks. It's a natural reaction. I've done it myself. But listen to me, when you got your eyes on the Lord and you're truly worshiping God out of the depths of your spirit, there's some, you go into a secret place. You go into a quiet place. You go into a place that is hidden with Him in His presence, and all the sound begins to wipe away and go away. All the fear and emotions begin to fall away because you're entering in to that secret place with the Most High. Oh, you ain't hearing me. When you enter into the presence of God and you get to that place by praising Him and worshiping Him, and as His Spirit comes down and begins to come over you and fill you and flow through you, brothers and sisters, in your time of praise and worship, you will be able to yield yourself in true humility to worship at the feet of the Lord. Hallelujah. There was a woman with an alabaster box. They came into the leper's house. Peter. The Bible declares this was just before the time, Brother Martin, I believe, before he was getting ready to be arrested in Gethsemane and taken to the place of the cross to be crucified. Him and his disciples came into this house. They had been with Jesus for a long time now. They had been with Him for a long time, used to His presence, used to the Lord Jesus' presence. He entered in, and they all sat down. I think we've gotten used to God. He entered into the house. And there was a woman that came in. The Bible says she was a sinner woman. They started murmuring and complaining, saying that this man is a man of God or a prophet of God. They know what she is. She's a sinner. She was probably a prostitute, wicked, evil woman. She brought something precious with her in a box. The Bible says it was an alabaster box. It was a precious ointment. Are you listening? This is in Mark 14. The Bible declares that when she came in, hallelujah, she felt the contention. They didn't want her there, do you? They didn't want her there. The Bible says they were murmuring. You ever walk into a church or in a presence of people or into a home or into a gathering and you don't feel welcome? But the reason she came was not for the men. She came to do one thing. Let me tell you something. If you're going to be able to worship the Lord, you've got to go beyond what people think of you, what people are saying about you, the feelings that you're getting from other people. You've got to be able to press beyond that which is around you that is affecting you and keeping you from worshiping God. I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, she entered into that house, and Brother Martin, they didn't want her there. She felt that atmosphere where, amen, they were murmuring, they're complaining, and the Bible says she broke the alabaster box. It was a precious ointment. I believe it said it was worth possibly 300 pence, which was a lot of money during that time, which could have fed the poor. And amen, they started to question. They started to murmur and complain, and she fell down at the feet of Jesus.
Jesus and begin to pour that ointment upon his head. I'm talking about true worship. True worship. Amen. When you have the ability to press beyond the carnal, press beyond the one that's in your ear saying, what are you here for? What are you doing here? We know you're not a true worshiper. Amen. She was a sinner woman, but she pressed beyond the atmosphere. Amen. Of contention. She pressed beyond the atmosphere of the carnal that was keeping her back from worshiping the Lord. And she broke that alabaster box and poured it upon his head and began to pour it upon his feet. Could you see? You know what? Some people get mad when you really begin to worship God. Some people are embarrassed to worship God. Some people are worried about what people are going to think about them by raising their hands and glorifying the Lord. But this woman, she wasn't worried about the disciples. She says, I've got my mind made up. I'm going right in. Amen. They were saying, who is this woman? Who is this woman? Why is she here? Who invited her? Listen, you don't need anybody to make you feel welcome to worship God. All you've got to do is have a heart of worship. You've got to have your spirit that truly wants to worship him. And it doesn't matter what anybody thinks or says. If you want to worship God, you worship him. Hallelujah. People will keep you from worshiping God. Most of us would walk in the door and feel that feeling of unwelcomeness and say, man, I'm leaving. This woman didn't care about what anybody thought because she was a true worshiper. Amen. And the Bible says that as she broke that ointment, she began to wipe with her hair that ointment all over Jesus. She was preparing his body, amen, for the burial. That sweet aroma would last for days upon the skin, like a fine lotion or a fine ointment that you rub into your skin. Amen. She was, you know, true worship has a sweet smell to it. I said true worship has a sweet fragrance when it comes in purity. Amen. It's something about going into a place of worship. I was listening to the young men up there, Brother Phil, testify when they were taking care of Pastor Reynolds in his last days of being sick with cancer. They said the pain was unbearable, but there would be times in the midst of that pain that Phil said he would walk into the living room and he felt a sweet presence. He said he could literally feel the whole atmosphere. I feel the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, in the midst of his pain, in the midst of his infirmity, he began to worship God. Phil said, I walked in one time and I felt the presence of the Holy Ghost so strong. He was down on his knees when he should have been laying down on that couch, resting his body. You know, that's the excuse that we use a lot of times. I don't feel like worshiping God. I have a headache. I got a backache. But that's the time when we need to be able to glorify God. Go beyond the carnal. Go beyond the fleshly. This man was dying of cancer. And I said, thank you, Phil, for sharing that story with me. He was down on his knees worshiping God with his hands in the air, magnifying the Lord, glorifying the Lord. Continually he was worshiping God. Hallelujah. A true worshiper doesn't need to be told to worship God. But the true worshiper will know that it is an absolute necessity and need. I absolutely must worship God in the Spirit. I must worship God in the Spirit. You know why? You know what kept him going for so long, Sister Veronica? Was that living water. That presence of God. Amen. He was waiting for some of his children to come see him. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you. Amen. You know what keeps us alive? You know what keeps us alive? Amen. And I'm telling you, some of you need it. Amen. Some of you need it. The only thing that will keep you alive is the living water that Jesus gives through his Spirit. When you begin to get into his presence and truly worship him, that woman came and broke that alabaster box. She poured it upon his feet. She began to let down her hair and wipe his feet and begin to weep and cry and worship at the feet of the Master.
How about you if you had a group of people around you saying, what is she doing letting down her hair? What is she doing wasting that fine ointment? I bet you Judas was the first one to speak up about that. The money man, because shortly thereafter he ran off and sold the Lord out. There's a lot of entertainers and so-called worshipers today that are selling the Lord out for a few dollars. Amen. They sound good though. Amen. You don't know how good they quote scripture and they sing, and man, I can feel goosebumps, but listen, they might praise God good, and I'm not taking it away from them. Let them praise the Lord. But are they true worshipers? I begin to wonder if you took away, amen, their fine instruments. I begin to wonder if this church age took away their speakers and all of their fine-tuned equipment and all of their stage lighting and all of their nice suits and all of their nice clothing, and they take away all those material things, Sister Martin. Amen. And you just have an old wooden pulpit, an old platform. Could they really begin to praise God with anything in the natural? Because you know what? A true worshiper, we don't care, amen, where we're at or who we're with. It doesn't matter. Ah, hallelujah. You can worship the Lord in the spirit. You don't need the natural things to help you to worship God if you're a true worshiper. Well, I can't sing when Sister Veronica, her voice cracks, and Sister Delia gets off key, or I just can't do it because you're not in the spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Some of you getting mad now. Don't get mad at Pastor Davis. If you were in the spirit, you'd be able to press beyond the sound. Amen. Amen. That woman pressed beyond the voices of the disciples. She pressed beyond the murmuring and the complaining. Amen. You've got to be able not to care what anybody thinks or says if you're going to be a true worshiper. You got to be determined. I don't care if the congregation don't praise God. I'm going to praise Him. I don't care if my children don't worship God. I'm going to praise Him. I don't care if the pastor doesn't praise God. I'm going to praise Him. I don't care who's going to worship and praise God. I'm going to worship Him. I'm going to glorify. I'm going to magnify. And I hope that most of you want to exalt and magnify the Lord together. Hallelujah. This woman's only mentioned once in the Bible. Her time was only a short time of recognition. But it's what she did that got the attention of the Lord. She pressed beyond the resistance of the disciples. And the Lord said, I've been sitting here in your house, and you didn't even wash my feet. You know, something about when we get used to God, we just praise Him when we feel like it. We worship Him when we feel like it. We offer when we feel like it. Jesus rebuked him right in his house. Said, I've been sitting here a while now. What are you boys, just gotten used to me? See, that's the deception of this church age. We think we know God. We think that God's been with us. We've gotten too used to His so-called presence. But you know what? It's not His presence. Amen. It's something that is in our mind that's made up by emotion and feeling. But it's not true worship. True worship. Listen closely now. Jesus said, this woman came in when nobody else would wash my feet and acknowledge me. He said, this is an example of a true worshiper. That's what he said. She is set at my feet. You know why? Because she had been forgiven of much. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, some of you need to hear what I'm saying. Give me a few more minutes. Don't get tired on me, church. You know what makes us thankful? and gives us that stirring and that ability within the depths of our heart to worship God when we don't feel like it. I start thinking of the good things that He's brought me from. I think of the sins that He's forgiven me of. I think about all the mercies that He has showed me new every morning. I think of His long suffering with me. I think of how He's forgiven me of some of the most vile, wicked sins. And the Bible goes on to say, who has been forgiven of much will love much. You know, when you truly love something, you'll worship it. Amen. And the Bible says we can't worship anything else but God. You got people worshiping their houses. You got people worshiping their cars. You got people worshiping their people that they look up to. You got people that worship the president. You got people that worship their nation. You got people that worship clothing. You got people that worship and serve money. But I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, a true worshiper, amen, isn't looking at the things in the natural. A true worshiper worships God in the spirit and in truth. Can you say amen? Give me a few more minutes and I will close. He said this woman would be recognized in the Gospels through every generation. She didn't hardly even say anything. At least I can't find anything hardly, but just tears. And taking that precious ointment, which we don't have time to get into that, but worship's going to cost you something. That was the most precious thing I think she had. And she gave it to worship the Lord. True worship's going to cost you something. Abraham brought his son, his only son. And it was to worship God. We must seek the Lord. We must seek God and worship Him. I don't care if you're young, you're old, you must worship God. I don't care what your status is in this world. The stars even worship God. The heavens declare His glory. The oak trees outside are stretching out their arms with leaves as the leaves and the wind blow through the trees, and they're worshiping and magnifying God. The grass that comes out of the earth is magnifying and worshiping and glorifying God. You know, if we don't worship God, the rocks. Oh, hallelujah. Worship is key. Prayer is good. It's a must. I'm telling you, worship is not far behind. You must find time to worship the Lord. You struggle in your prayer time to really get into the Spirit, you need to start your prayer time off with worship and praise, which will enter you into the presence of God. Come before Him with clean hands, amen, and ask Him to forgive you of your sins. First, cleanse you of all unrighteousness. If you have any known sin upon your conscience, confess it. He's faithful and just to forgive you of that sin and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And now, once you've been washed by the blood of Jesus, you can enter into His presence and you will not have a conscience that will fight you and make you not want to worship God, but you will be able to worship God with a clear conscience and receive and be thankful. I'm thankful for being able to come into the presence of the Lord. Young or old, doesn't matter the status. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 2, there were some wise kings, wise men. Kings, I don't know, theologians all discuss it, but they were wise men because they were coming to worship the babe, the Messiah, the Jesus. They came from a long way seeking Him. It cost them something to make that trip. They traveled a long ways and they came with offerings and gifts. It cost them something on that journey. Trying to get to that place where God wants you to be to worship Him. It'll take you some time to get into that place. Abraham traveled for 3 days. This is something that the Holy Ghost has to teach you to do. This isn't taught by a book. Pastor can't teach you how to worship God. Because see, true worship cannot be taught in form. There's many that go through motions of worship, but it's not true worship. It's a form of worship, but it's not real worship born out of the heart of a man. Lest I weary you, I will close. But I'm here to tell you this morning, I pray to God that we have a better understanding of what true worship is. Our hearts must be in tune with God when we come into this place. Realizing we're not here just to go through motions. But God is looking for the true worshiper that will worship Him in the Spirit. Say, I don't feel like it. That's your flesh. That's my flesh. Anybody can worship God when things are going good. When God's moving and His presence is moving through the church. And there are certain times where I don't expect anybody to worship God with a joyful noise and exuberance. But I'll tell you, there's times where when nobody else seems to be worshiping God, when you need to just close your eyes and begin to worship Him out of your heart. When you love something, you will worship it. When we love something, we will truly worship it, brothers and sisters. Can you say amen? I'm going to leave you with one verse of scripture, and I just want you to listen. True worship is something that God is looking for. He's not looking for our lip service, but He's looking for us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Isaiah prophesied about a group of people in Matthew chapter 15, and he also back in the book of Isaiah, but says here, this people that draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. True worship comes from the inward part. You can say, listen, I've seen demon-possessed people worship God. The Bible says the man in the Gadareans, the one full of demons running around naked, came up and fell at his feet when he got off that boat and worshiped Him. And then asked the question, have thou come to torment me? I'm going to tell you something real plain. Everybody that comes into this place and starts flopping around on the ground and running around, it's not always the Holy Ghost. It's not true worship. Don't you pay no attention to it, church. When you see a woman or you see a man or a girl, boy or girl, and it seems like the Spirit's moving and we feel God and they start flopping around and jerking around and falling on the ground, don't you stare at it and don't look at it, church. Pay no attention to it. You will know in your spirit when it's the Holy Ghost. You will bear witness to it when it's true worship. There are times when I have seen people break out in a Holy Ghost dance. Or they'll get up and run the church aisle. Or they'll get up and start shouting and glorifying God like we had last week. Amen. I didn't know, but I felt the Holy Ghost in this place. And I know I preached a long time, but somebody said, Donna told me my wife went to dancing down the hall with her hair flying up and down. Listen, I know when the hair is flying, the Holy Ghost is moving. Because some of you sisters, when you really get a touch of the Holy Ghost, you don't care what people think around you. You don't care what people think about what you're doing.
You don't care if there's music. You don't care if your husband approves of it, or your sons or your brothers or sisters. You don't care what anybody thinks. When that spirit of worship, that spirit of true worship, gets stirred up within the depths of your soul, and you begin to worship and magnify the Lord, not only with your voice, it will also come out of your belly, and the rivers of living water will begin to flow, and you'll begin to react. You'll begin to move. You'll begin to uncontrollably not be able to control the Holy Ghost. Some of you would say, that's fanatical. God does everything decently and in order. Listen, you tell them that on the day of Pentecost, they came stumbling. They come bumbling. They come flipping around and falling. I remember one convention one year, Sister Donna fell off the platform and did a backflip. Amen. Some would say, oh, that wasn't God. That wasn't in order. But let me tell you something. You don't know what the Holy Ghost will do. Have you been moved by that Holy Ghost like that before? Have you had that true spirit of worship come upon you? Listen, David danced before the Lord with all his might. David danced before the Lord with all his might. David danced before the Lord when he seen the ark coming. He felt the presence of God, and he began to worship the Lord and the beauty of holiness. You say, how was that holy? His pants fell off. Listen, brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. If you're carnal, you'll start looking. But I'm not worried about what people have. You listen to me. You listen to me, true worship cannot be planned. It cannot be done with a program. But true worship, I gotta stop. Because I'm starting to feel it. True worship says, I don't care what I'm going through. I don't care what trials are coming my way. I don't care how the bills are mounting up. I don't care who's gossiping about me. I don't care what my family members are saying about me. I don't care what people are thinking about me. I'm going to come into his presence and break my alabaster box. And I'm going to give him my all. I'm going to give him my all. I'm going to worship the Lord with all of my heart, with all of my mind, and with all my strength. And I don't care what anybody thinks or says about it. Hallelujah. Many people will worship God with their mouth. And he said, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. He says, but in vain. Matthew 15, 8 and 9. But in vain. Say in vain. In vain. I don't care if they're running around the church. If it's not in the spirit, it's in vain. I don't care if they're saying the biggest hallelujah out of the depths of their lungs. If it's not born out of the Spirit, it's in vain. There's a difference between real worship and fake worship. A lot of times the Spirit of God will get moving and people get uncomfortable. We've seen it in the Dominican Republic. We've seen it in Mexico. Spirit of God begin to move and you begin to pray for people. They start gyrating and wanting to run and flop around. And I just didn't bear witness it was the Holy Ghost. I felt they were wanting to get away from that anointing that was going to break something. And they didn't want that to be touched. Listen, when people really want to be delivered, brothers and sisters, they will fall at his feet. And there will be a brokenness. There will be a weeping. There will be a crying. God won't reject a person that comes to him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Can you say amen? I got to close this down. And I'm just telling you, brothers and sisters, true worship. I could go on to the blind man that was condemned and asked, who opened up your eyes? He says, I don't know. They said, that Jesus is a sinner. He says, I don't care if he's a sinner or not. All I know is my eyes got opened up. If God decides to open Brother Adam's eyes up one day, I can guarantee you, brothers and sisters, amen, and he can see what we all look like. Hallelujah. See, this blind man didn't know what Jesus looked like.
Oh, hallelujah. But when his eyes got opened up, the Bible said that they cast him out for one thing, because he told them, listen, I don't care what you think. All I know is this man, you say he's not of God. I say he is. Amen. There's never been a man healed and had his eyes opened before. Amen. On the earth. And he says, my eyes are opened. I once was blind, but now I see. They kicked him out and said, get out of here. You're a fanatic. That's all right. You know, a true worshiper will always be rejected. A true worshiper is never going to be popular. A true worshiper is not going to be liked. A true worshiper, someone that really has had their eyes open to the truth. Oh, you hear me? Oh, I got to stop. Hallelujah. That's why they, in our Pentecostal churches, they don't truly have a spirit of worship, because when the true Holy Ghost breaks out in the church in a Holy Ghost dance or with some type of fanatical expression of God's worship through a soul of a man that's been set free by the power of the blood and the anointing has made him free. Amen. Brothers and sisters, they don't want that anymore in our churches. They don't want it. Stick them in a back room somewhere. Get that fanatic out of the church. Listen, but let me tell you something. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And let me tell you something. We don't need to control it. We don't try to need to make it happen. If it happens and it's in the Spirit, leave it alone. Leave it alone. Don't put your hand on it. Let God have His way. They kicked that man out and he sought Jesus, the Bible says, that blind man. And he came to the Lord and said, Lord, they kicked me out. And the Lord said, do you believe I'm the Christ, I'm the Messiah? And he says, show me who he is that I may worship him. He said, he that is speaketh unto thee, I am he. Oh, not too many men had the Lord come right to their face and say, I am He. Oh, hallelujah. He fell down before the Lord and he began to worship Him. Why? Because the Lord had done something great for this blind man. He once was blind. Now he could see. And now he wanted to give his all to worshiping the Lord. Our God, can you say amen? Stand with me, church, this afternoon. Stand with me. Lest I weary you. I love you, church. I've given you my whole heart. I think we need to take a moment to worship God. I think you need to worship the Lord for a few minutes. I know your body's tired. I know you might not feel good right now, but I'm telling you, the Spirit of the Lord has been with us today. The Spirit of the Lord is in our midst today. Say, well, I don't really feel Him. Listen, you begin to worship God and close your eyes and you'll begin to feel Him. True worship begins with you in your heart. And as we all begin to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness and in the same mind and in the same spirit, then God will begin to come in our midst, brothers and sisters.